Scarborough Reef Bravo Sierra 7 Hotel is one of the remotest and most dangerous places on our globe. And Wolf Harant, Oscar Echo 1 Whiskey Hotel Charlie, from the documentary archives Radio Communications in Vienna. And I'm talking to James Brooks, 9 Victor 1 Yankee Charlie, of a team right now over there at Scarborough Reef, one of the most outstanding amateur radio de-expeditions of this year and probably of many years to come. James, thank you very much for talking to us, and can you please explain the situation over there?
Okay, great. Well, Scarborough Reef is basically just a small reef in the middle of the South China Sea, and it is completely covered by water, except for a few small rocks which extend out at high tide just above the waterline for about a few feet. And what we've done is we've constructed wooden platforms on four of those rocks that can hold a structure at high tide. And the structures are only a few feet wide by a few feet long, and then we've attached our antennas to them. So basically we're like little birds perched on a small rock in the middle of the ocean. What we do is we send out a boat every 6 hours during the daytime and just once at sunrise and sunset. So basically we have three shift changes a day, once at sunset, once at midday, and once at sunset. And the team that goes out at sunset over the entire night and comes back in the morning, because we cannot change shifts during dark hours because it's too dangerous on the reef. The boat cannot access during nighttime hours because the coral is too dangerous, and we would never know where we were going. Whenever we move the boats out to the rocks, we have to have someone looking over the side to make sure that they're going in a place which is deep enough for the boat. It's a very dangerous reef. There's lots of hazards. There's rain, there's wind, there's lightning, there's piracy, there's all sorts of things going on. We're basically out here, and we share this place only with some Filipino fishermen who have paid us a visit several times asking for things. They ask for fuel, they ask for water. We don't know if their intentions are bad or not, but they seem genuinely harmless. But they were with us today. One of them even climbed onto one of our platforms. Three of them actually climbed onto the platforms and started looking at our radios and our geek. They can't speak English, so they just look and they sort of point and ask what's going on.
Isn't this an extremely dangerous and exposed situation, sitting there just above the waterline with all the coral being quite sharp and the seawater splashing?
Yes, in fact, it's extremely dangerous. I was out last night and the night before, two nights before that, and when myself and the operator I was with landed on the rock, we barely made it into the the surf was so high. The first 2 hours we were soaking wet with water from the sea that was just splashing. We have little protective covers for our radios so they didn't get too wet, but we got soaked and the wind was picking up and the platform was shaking. So we have to operate for, I'd say, the first 6 hours with life jackets on, because we were afraid the platform would collapse and we would actually be thrown into the sea.
How do you manage to get the generators and the antenna and the table with the transceiver and everything else on the rock?
We have with us a very, very brilliant carpenter from Taiwan, who's also a ham, Bravo Victor 6 Hotel Japan. And he is, he along with the ship's crew did an amazing job of constructing this very, very micro platform to hold not only the radios and equipment and also an antenna mount, but also the generators too. So, two of the rocks are so small, only one operator can be on there at any one time, and the other two rocks can just about hold two people, at any one time.
Can you see each other from one rock to the other?
Yes, just about. Two of the rocks are within about 400 feet of each other, and the other rocks are a bit too far to see each other at night. We can just barely make out a light in the distance if we look hard enough. in the daytime you can see each other, but that you, all you can see is really a speck on the horizon. You can't see anything more detailed than that unless you have binoculars.
How are the weather conditions?
Well, so far the weather conditions have been okay. We haven't had any rain. The wind has picked up at nighttime considerably, but in general we haven't had any storms. We haven't had any rain. Though there was a little bit of lightning in the horizon yesterday, which we were worried about. But for the most part, the weather has been cooperative. The daytime temperature is upwards of about 33, 34, and the nighttime temperature is around 25 or so.
How are the conditions? Which parts of the world are easy to reach and which are difficult?
Okay, as far as the radio conditions go, obviously from this part of the world, which is where I live, actually, I don't live very far away from here, the most difficult part of the world to work is the northeast of the United States. Whiskey 1, Whiskey 2, Whiskey 8, Whiskey 4, those kinds of places. But we're doing very well. Actually, we've been trying extremely hard and paying close attention to the openings that do occur to that area, and we've been very successful. We're doing all right. Europe, of course, is very easy to work from here, as is Japan and Oceania. Those are not a problem. We have easy openings to Europe every day, twice a day, actually, for very long periods on all bands. So the North American opening is the one we're paying the most attention to.
You're using only vertical antennas. So why?
We have vertical antennas on three of the rocks, and we have a low Yagi on one of the other rocks. The vertical antennas above saltwater are quite efficient, and in general, to assemble and erect a Yagi is very, very difficult in these conditions, because how do you erect it in the sea? Our friends from Bravo Yankee, who we're sharing the trip with, managed to erect a very small version of the C4. Actually, it looks like a C3. It's a duplicate of a C3S, and they've managed to erect it about 8 meters above the waterline, and it seems to perform okay, especially on 15 meters. The rest of the antennas are stepper verticals, which are turning out to be a little bit of a problem, because in this kind of condition in the sea, to get a good connection to the salt water is not as easy as you would think, and we're having a lot of trouble getting a good radio connection into the salt water. And that's proving to be quite difficult at times. But overall, the verticals are excellent radiators once you get them correctly tuned and connected to the salt water.
You also have a balloon, a helium balloon for 1860, but it couldn't lift that yet. Is that correct?
We haven't put up the balloon, mostly because the demand is so high for the other bands. And if we move over to 80 and 160, we would be losing thousands and thousands of people who need this for a new country on bands like 30 and 40 meters. So at this point, we haven't touched that. We also had to use the wire for that balloon to make more radials for the stepper verticals for the high bands, because we just weren't getting enough connection into the salt water. Okay.
I was talking to James Brooks, 9 Victor 1 Yankee Charlie, member of the Bravo Sierra 7 Hotel's Scarborough Reef Amateur Radio Day Expedition. I'm Wolf Harant, Oscar Echo 1, Whiskey Hotel Charlie, from the Documentary Archives Radio Communications in Vienna. And all we can do is thank the team for their outstanding efforts on behalf of the worldwide amateur radio community, and pray for them and wish them a safe and sound return.
Thank you very much, and much appreciated. 73s to everyone.